Would you say you have like an addictive personality or no?
No. You know, I think like my ADHD makes me hyper focus, but not addictive. Right? Like the only thing that I'm really addicted to nowadays is like Aquaphor. And like it's just Aquaphor. Real. Right?
Real.
But yeah, no, I hyper focus, but
that's real.
Yeah.
I feel like if I'm like, because I know I do have an addictive personality, but it will be towards food.
Ooh,
like
right.
A specific type of food, and I'll eat it so often, and then I'll get sick of it, and I'll never want to have it again in my life.
Mm. Yeah, actually, now that you bring that up, maybe I'm addicted to my, like, mom's cooking. Like, I like when she makes pasta.
Real.
Really good.
That's real.
My boyfriend's Nana's food is, like, some of the best food I've ever had. Like,
that's
I'm addicted to that.
So real.
but yeah, I mean, we all want good food, right?
So. For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And good food is such a blessing, too.
Yeah.
You know how it's sad when people don't have anything to eat. I really empathize with you. And it's sad when people have food, but the person just doesn't know how to cook it.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Olivia Gallo. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good. Explain yourself to me, to the audience.
Yeah.
I know.
Hi. My name's Olivia. I'm a third year psych student here at York, and I'm also a content creator like you.
But you have done a lot of stuff around campus.
Mm-hmm.
You have done so much with your content creation too. I remember I used to hear about you on Glendon before I knew you, before we met, and I'm like, oh, Olivia Gallo. Oh, Radio Glendon. I wonder who this girl is. You know,
right.
I'd really like to meet her one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like going by and stumbling into Radio Glendon, and I'm like, oh, you're her.
I'm Olivia Gallo indeed. Yeah.
Okay.
Radio Glendon is just it's just been something, I call it a passion project of mine that I've had for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working like really hard on that, and I'm happy that it's finally like people are finally using the space and making music and using the podcast room.
A lot of people I've seen have utilized this space for what it's worth, because the way how you've been able to transform it from your website, it was completely different.
Yeah.
Like the way how the space looked, even like the podcast studio, like unrecognizable.
Yeah, we put in a lot. I say we as in like, so there was me and then people from IT, and, you know, my boyfriend has been like the biggest helping hand. Yeah, we did a lot of work, especially like May of last year when I had done like when I had completed all of the administrative stuff.
Yeah,
I really was able to focus on renovations, and that's when like everything actually felt like things were happening.
That's good.
Because we were finally able to like change the color of the walls and get new furniture and, you know, get that recording booth in there. And that luckily happened throughout the summer into first semester, and this semester is now just like, you know, I guess building clientele, like getting people from campus to actually use the space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been so long, like I've been working on it for so long that when I graduate, I just like, I don't know how I'm gonna go without like Radio Glendon, if that makes sense, because I've been doing it since my first year.
Wow.
So, and like next year's my fourth, and so if I decide to take a fifth year or whatever, like it would be my last year, and and yeah.
It's really been a passion project, and you really have to find people that have that same passion for Radio Glendon that you have, so there's so much longevity for it, so it could be a resource within the community too.
Yeah, like there's the Glendon Media Lab, which isn't student run. So there's Radio Glendon, which is student run, and you can, you know, make music, podcasts, like we've had a gaming night, you know, we've had like DJ events. Like we try to really cater to like the Glendon community as much as we can. I think the most important thing when it comes to Radio Glendon is the people that come through Radio Glendon. And I don't want to say that I did all of it by myself. There were like, you know, people that helped me along the way. A lot of things were like a two-person job when it came to like student affairs and all that stuff. So I did have some help for a little bit from someone that was in one of my classes. He kind of heard me complaining about Radio Glendon, complaining, saying that I wanted to like start it up and I just needed like more manpower. and he manpower, I say, as in like just people, not necessarily a man.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so more manpower, as in like I just need like kind of a partner in the position.
For sure.
And he was just like, I'll help, and I was like, thank you so much, because now, you know, banding people together will make it easier. And yeah, so we got like the bank stuff and all that done, and then he actually left to go to U of T.
Oh.
So then it was like just me, and then I took on like the renovations and all that stuff like pretty much solo.
Wow.
Like I dealt with a lot of like when it came to the paint, and when it came to like deciding where things go, I was very much like hands-on. Thankfully, like everything else, like the bigger things, like the technology and buying all the equipment and the booth, I had help from IT, which was great.
For sure.
Thankfully, because I wouldn't have been able to. I don't think I would have been able to do that alone. Like I could have. But I think it was definitely helpful to have more hands.
For sure. It lightens the load, too.
100%.
Especially for a big project like Radio Glendon. Like, when Jordan, shout out to Jordan, by the way.
Shout out, Jordan.
When he first brought me down to Radio Glendon, I thought, it's a little bit dungeon-esque here.
Right?
But when you go into the rooms and such, it's so calm. It's so chill. And it really is such a great resource. And just seeing how much community engagement it's brought to Glendon, too. I remember during my first year when I used to have classes at Glendon, I thought, oh, it's nice. It's close to home. And, you know, it's a quiet campus. But I dreaded it because I didn't really have a sense of community there. And I didn't really know anyone. But when you have clubs like these that are so interesting that can cater towards any type of person, anyone that has a voice or is passionate about something and just wants a platform or the equipment to do so, it's just so amazing.
That was the initial like mission, was to give the Glendon campus like a voice to do things, because I know Kiel, like here they have, you know, this studio, and they have so many just resources in general. And I felt like Glendon, we had our clubs and we had whatever, you know, whatever we had, but we didn't really have like a place to do music or really a place to do podcasts. Like, again, we have the Media Lab, but it didn't feel very like chill vibe. It was very much like professional. Like, you had the you know, the professional studio, but sometimes people just like a place where they can, you know, chill, sit on a couch, play some games, and yes, then like go into the studio whenever they want to record. And mm-hmm. It was definitely a lot more private. Like, it's secluded from like the main hall.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought it would just be like a great idea to give voice to people on the Glendon campus, because Radio Glendon used to be a radio, hence the name. So mm-hmm. It used to be a radio, but now it's been transformed, because a lot of people were asking for music, and for podcasting it was a lot more in demand.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely like, it's a friendlier face when it's a fellow student as opposed to like some like faculty member.
That's
but
so true too.
Yeah. But love the guys at the Media Lab though. They were also great.
They're awesome. Shout out to you guys.
Shout out to you guys. You guys are great, lending us some equipment when we need. So
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the amount of tips too that they give, especially, I love. It's so helpful all the time. Thank you.
Yeah, they have like way more, like they have just so much more equipment than we could ever imagine. They have like 3D printing things.
Mm-hmm.
They have like drones.
They have drones?
I think they do. I think they do. If
no
I'm not
way.
Mistaken. They have a whole bunch of stuff. If they don't have drones, I'm going to look stupid. But I know they have but I know they have like 360 cameras.
Mm-hmm.
They have VRs. Like, it's crazy the amount of equipment they have. Like, you can pretty much do, like, if you have any kind of content creation, like,
I've been wanting to rent a drone or get a drone for some time, because those things look cool.
They're crazy.
They look so cool. Like, you get to hold it like a freaking video game controller, like those guys in the submarine.
Yeah. And you can just cast in the submarine. Are you talking about, what was it called?
Watergate.
Watergate. Was it called like Titan something?
The Titan.
Or am I thinking of Titanic?
Submersible or something?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The ones in the submarine, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least they didn't have to, you know, suffer and go through the torture. It was just like, pop,
boom.
Like a balloon, you know?
Yeah, like an implosion, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at least it was that, yeah.
Yeah, put out of their misery.
Yeah.
No. Anyways. Yeah, like a drone. It would be so cool just to shoot it over the forest or just like.
And Glennon's beautiful for that. In my first year when I had started up radio, or I had started up something else called the Mental View podcast, because I had initially wanted to do a mental health podcast. That was, you know, one of my goals. But I had band together like maybe 40 people to do this at the Glennon campus. And there was someone with a drone and they were, you know, taking pictures for like a website or whatever it may be for MVP. Mm-hmm. And they took videos over the forest at Glennon. It was beautiful because it was fall time. The leaves are changing.
Especially during fall. Right. Glennon is so beautiful during
that time. So many trees. And yeah, it was. I think the landscape at Glennon is gorgeous. It really is.
And it's so tucked away and it's so scenic too. Sometimes I feel bougie going into Glennon because it's like, I'm in the bridal path.
Right.
I'm near Drake's house.
Right. You know? Yeah. I love it there. I love Glennon. But I live closer to Kiel. So like I will, it's like a whole like journey to get to Glennon sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the traffic, you know, in the morning could take me an hour and a half to get there. But I love it nonetheless, right? Yeah. So, like, the journey and the people that I met, because it's such a small campus, like, it all makes it worth it, right?
For sure.
So.
That's how I feel, like, coming to, like, Glennon, because I don't have any classes at Glennon, but I love studying at the library there. Always have, because of the views. It's so scenic.
Right. You look into the Rose Garden next to the manor. Yeah, it's really, really pretty.
I've been a big contributor on Google Maps for that library's, like, reviews.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
even do reviews on Google unless I really like the place and I'm like, picture, this place is amazing.
It's really, really pretty. I have a friend here at the Kiel. I've taken classes here at Kiel, mm-hmm. but I've only ever been in Very Hall.
Okay.
So like I've never really been in like any other building, but mm-hmm. I have a friend who is a Kiel student and she showed me around like Scott Library. I'm like, there's 5 floors? Like, why is there so many? And because mm-hmm. Glennon's 1, and then if you're a grad student, I think you can go onto the 2nd floor.
Really?
Yeah.
I go onto the 2nd floor all the time.
Maybe it's like there's rooms for grad students, but I've heard that.
In the library?
Leslie Frost.
Anybody can go up
really?
There.
Really? Because I've heard that I couldn't.
What?
Maybe that was a first year problem. Maybe they changed it. What, I
was
have no
it
idea.
During COVID or something?
Uh-uh.
I go up there all the time when I'm studying and I just need a little break. I just take my little walk upstairs and in the basement.
Really?
But I don't like going in the basement. It's creepy down there.
Yeah, I feel like basements are just, especially Glennon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's where Radio Glennon is, but it's okay. We're that space that's like comfortable. I don't know. Maybe it changed or maybe I was given the wrong information. I would love to go to the 2nd floor.
I've always been able to go up there. No problem.
Well, you learn something new every day.
There you go.
Yeah. I guess I'll start going on the 2nd floor.
Yeah. It's similar to the basement, but it's not too bad.
Yeah.
I don't stay up there long. It's just like a little joop power walk. Like.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a break.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like my quiet time.
Me too. I really do like my solitude, but I also like yapping with people. But if I can't yap with people, then there's always myself too, and the voices make great company.
Right? The voices. Just the voices. Yeah. I talk a lot and I talk to a lot of people and sometimes I talk too much, but I
no such thing.
You know, I'd like to believe that. I feel like sometimes you could talk people like ears off and they're just like, okay, you need to.
If it's a rant or venting, I mean, like it depends and such, and it depends on the other person's mood too.
Mm-hmm.
But then like if anybody is the type of person to say, oh, you talk too much, get a podcast.
Yeah, real. Yeah, I have one on my YouTube channel.
You do?
Yeah.
I've watched it. It's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. It's supposed to be low production, like just me sitting in my room kind of thing. Like, because I do that anyway. So it's just like, why not make a video about it and like tell people how I'm feeling? Because it's my channel, so I can do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you touch a lot on mental health on your pod because I know you are a psych student.
Yeah, I am a psych student, yeah.
Okay.
From a very young age, I've just always wanted to discuss mental health. That's why I went into psych, right? So like I myself obviously have like my own mental health struggles with like anxiety and depression and stuff, but I like that now it's not normalized to have it, I guess. It's definitely advocated for more, right? And I think like I just wanted to obviously join that because if your mental health isn't good, your physical health isn't going to be good. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to school, you struggle. When it comes to relationships, you struggle. Like mental health is really like everything, I think.
Sure.
Right? And yeah, like mind and body can be connected, but I definitely think, like, if you're not in the right mental state, how are you going to be in the right mental state to take care of your body?
It's true.
So, yeah, like, I've, you know, had my, you know, struggles with mental health, and I think it's just important to help those who feel like they can't help themselves, kind of thing. Like, I actually went to Glendon originally as a French studies major.
Oh.
And, like, within the first 3 weeks, like, I was having too many mental breakdowns because, like, the professor I had couldn't understand him. I felt like I was in a higher level than I should have been in. And so if I was having repeated mental breakdowns like that, because you have French classes twice a week.
Damn.
So, like, for 3 weeks, I was having mental, like, I had six mental breakdowns in 3 weeks. And I was like, okay, this is not working. So I switched to psych, which I guess is kind of ironic because I was having, like, a really bad time. And then I switched to something that, like, talks about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was definitely, like, the right choice for me. And I've always been, like, the helpful, like, therapist friend, I guess. I've always been that person that people can go to, just, like, a friendly face to discuss certain things.
I find that about a lot of people, you know? Like, a lot of people that say are very joyful, very happy, the ones that you can go to for advice, for therapy, tend to struggle with mental health severely.
Yeah, it's like the empathy aspect of it, right? Because it's like, if someone's going through depression, and even though it's maybe from a different stem, it's still depression.
For sure.
And people feel things differently, but I find that a lot of, like, treatments or a lot of, like, coping mechanisms, they can span across regardless of, like, the stem of it and regardless of, like, you know, how you feel about it, right? Like, there's so many things that can help or ground you, and it's just about finding that thing.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then it's also about being careful about what you choose to make as your coping mechanism, because that can exacerbate the problem too.
100%. Always positive coping mechanisms. And you know what the thing is like, people will fall into, you know, negative coping mechanisms, but it's all about using positive coping mechanisms to change the coping mechanism. It's like the replacement therapy aspect of it, right? Like, you want to replace a bad habit with a good one.
Yes. And it takes time to adapt to it,
time,
too.
Time, effort,
it takes so much. Because when you're in that state for so long, when I had my depression for, like, 3 years, is so, like, chronic. And just getting out of it was so gradual. And just, you have to find ways to connect back to the joy of life.
And for some people, that could be, well, I know for myself, I had always told myself when I was going through a really hard time, like, this will end. In the sense of, like, I'll always have depression and anxiety, but when things get, like, really hard, my depression, I'm going through, like, a really bad, you know, episode, I always tell myself, and this took effort, this will pass. Like, this too shall pass, it will go away. And I find that that really helps. It's comforting for me, like, you know, in 3 months, 6 months, this will be gone.
For sure.
And that's what I think, you know, helps me get through all the bad parts, is, like, let yourself feel that, because then, you know, it helps you understand yourself better. You don't want to, like, you don't want to regress, and you also don't want to, like, repress.
That's true.
So I just let myself feel, and I go through all the emotions and tell myself it'll get better eventually. And that's, like, how I go through.
That's a really big thing. That's a really brave thing, actually. I'm really proud of you that able to feel through that, and you were able to get through that. I wish I could have done that, but I'm really glad you have the resiliency to do that and to endure all of it.
Yeah, and it's definitely, like, a learned behavior, right? And I'm sure if, like, you know, God forbid something were to happen to you, you'd take those steps to obviously, you know, try and be better, and maybe you could start implementing, like, this will pass, this will get better, because, like,
for me,
it will. Right? Coping mechanisms, friends. Coping mechanisms. Although negative, like, I'm assuming now you're probably better with it and you don't do it.
For sure. Because I realize I have alcohol sensitivities. So anytime, if I have even a drop of alcohol, even if I'm having sushi with soya sauce, because I know soya sauce has some alcohol in it, I'll have a stomach ache, apparently. So those weeks I'll go, I don't have a drop of alcohol unless I'm having sushi, of course.
Right, right.
And then other days it's like, okay, maybe, like, a nice, like, little glass of Moscato one night, and then, like, a Caesar the other night, and then it's like, okay, that's it.
Yeah. When it comes to alcohol, I've drank very minimal. Like,
I'm a lightweight.
But not even that. Like, I've never finished a full glass of alcohol.
Really?
Yeah. I've never, like, people actually get surprised, right? When I say, like, the most I've had is, like, a few sips of, like, a wine or whatever it may be. People are very surprised when I say, like, I've never, you know, never, like, because a lot of people our age do.
That's true. But, it's so normalized.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, like, it's not necessarily, like, the worst thing in the world. I've just never had the urge to. I've also never been, like, surrounded by alcohol or people who, like, really do it. So, never really fell into that crowd. But yeah, I've never done it, but like when people do, it's not like a, like I don't judge them for it because like,
yeah,
we're of age
for sure.
So like,
and that's a good thing. Would you say you have like an addictive personality or no?
No, you know, that's even better. I think, like my ADHD makes me hyper-focus, but not addictive. Right? Like, the only thing that I'm really addicted to nowadays is, like, Aquaphor. And, like, it's just Aquaphor. Real. Right?
Real.
But, yeah, no, I hyper-focus, but I've never... I've always been the kind of person to want to do more than one thing at a time. That's the ADHD. But, yeah, I've never really been addicted to anything, I don't think.
That's real.
Yeah.
I feel like if I'm, like... Because I know I do have an addictive personality, but it will be towards food.
Ooh,
like
right.
A specific type of food, and I'll eat it so often, and then I'll get sick of it, and I'll never want to have it again in my life.
Yeah, actually, now that you bring that up, maybe I'm addicted to my, like, mom's cooking. Like, I like when she makes pasta.
Real.
Really good.
That's real.
My boyfriend's Nana's food is, like, some of the best food I've ever had. Like,
that's,
I'm addicted to that.
So real.
But yeah, I mean... We all want good food, right?
So. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And good food is such a blessing, too.
Yeah.
You know how it's sad when people don't have anything to eat. I really empathize with you. And it's sad when people have food, but the person just doesn't know how to cook it.
Yeah. I wish I could. I wish I knew how to cook. It's my boyfriend who usually, like, is the cook. He loves, like, food and stuff.
Aww.
Yeah, so... I try and I try and be like, what should I put on my sandwich? And he's like, this, you know, and he tells me, and yeah, he's great that way. That's I don't really good. Have to think when I'm like,
that's good yeah. to have a boyfriend like that, where it's like, you can just turn off your brain and you feel so safe and secure too.
Yeah. It's great. Cause like, sometimes he's like, I'm just going to make a sandwich. And there was one time he made this like really good sandwich and, he like toasted the bread and everything. And I was like,
ooh.
Okay. Yeah. He just likes to cook. And he likes making things and putting things together. Like, one night, he was having a sandwich, but he's like, or he was having something, and he was like, I really want a sauce for this. Like, looked up on TikTok, like, a recipe, just made himself a sauce, like, right then and there. I was like, okay.
Like a nice little aioli.
Exactly. Ooh. Yeah, he's good that way. Like, he loves to make food and loves watching videos about food.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. I wish I had a boyfriend like that. I wish I had a boyfriend, period.
Yeah, him and I've known each other since we were 12.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we've been friends for a long time. We've been together almost 3 years now.
Okay.
So yeah, like we knew each other for a long time before we even started, you know, dating. So
did he ask the question or did you ask the question?
It was kind of like a mutual, like, okay, we know, like, let's just start like dating. I think it was like, I think he had officially asked me to, like, be his Valentine or something. And then, like, a month later, we were, like, we got together. So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that so much.
Yeah. We were friends for a long time. Yeah, he's definitely, like my other person, right? Like, he's my partner in crime. We have been for so long. And
twin him.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, he's great.
That's good.
We do, like, month anniversary, but we kind of just, like, point it out. But when it comes to, like, birthdays or Christmas, like, we go all out.
I saw the haul, huh?
Yeah. Ooh. All out. So, like, last year he got me a typewriter for my birthday.
Oh.
It was crazy. Got me a typewriter. This year he got me, him and all my friends, like, pitched in to get me a DJI Osmo Pocket 3 camera.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
I know.
Yeah, it was wild. And, yeah, so like for his birthday this year, I got him a he really loves Manchester City. Like, he loves Man City.
Oh.
And so I got him a Manchester City jersey with Alvarez on the back of it, like Julian Alvarez.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he really liked it. And we kind of would go all out. We'd like surprise each other for birthdays. It's just something that like I started between the friends. And yeah, for Valentine's Day, we do stuff. We usually like do like a dinner or whatever maybe. But we're not like really big on gifts until it comes time for like a birthday or Christmas. It's just save money, live better, right? Like,
exactly.
Bro, it's, college kids.
Isn't that the Walmart like slogan? Yeah. Save money, live mm-hmm. better. Okay. Yeah, okay.
I do that. I say that all the time because like saving money is like another thing that I'm like also passionate about.
Me too. See, like, that's why like I love the budget for this podcast. Is my motto for my budget is free 99.
Right? If it's free, it's for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We're exactly. You get same. Me. Yeah, you know, exactly. I see exactly. you. You see me. We see each other.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Because
real recognizes real.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to spend money when I don't have to.
Exactly. Right? Especially for textbooks.
Oh. Yeah, no. PDF all the way. Mm. Yeah, Anna's archive.
Yes, Zlib.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, I have to save money now more than ever because I'm going abroad. So, yes. Like, I have to.
Miss Korea.
Miss Korea.
Korea, Rhea, yeah. Rhea. Yeah. Ooh, I bet you are excited. I would be excited too, but I can't imagine how excited you are.
I'm very excited. I think I'm, as it gets closer, because like I said before, I'm leaving like a month and a bit. Mm-hmm. It's just over a month. I'm getting more terrified.
No way.
Because it's like, I'm very excited, but we have to think about like, oh, okay, so I'm going to be 14 hours ahead. It's like an 18-hour travel day. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going with someone else, which is like really great. So I'm not like traveling alone.
Okay.
But I've never been away from my family for so long, for like 4 months. And I'm leaving my boyfriend and his family and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm the kind of person where like I have big like attachment thing. Like I love to be around people that I love. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's going to be hard, but I know that this is going to be a good thing for me. So I'm excited, but terrified at the same time. But it's a good growth period, I think. And I think that's, like, majority of the reason why I want to do it is because I need to know how to be good in my own solitude.
Yeah.
Right? And I need to know how to, like, be good on my own. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it comes with, like, it's good and it's, you know, like, good emotions and it's scary emotions. But overall, I think it'll be, like, a fantastic experience. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm going. So
for sure. And you know what, you get to learn so many different things about yourself too, and so many different things about the culture as well, and the language too.
Right Yeah.
So is it like a study abroad?
Yeah, so I'm studying abroad at Yonsei University. It's basically like here taking 5 classes. It's just I choose the classes for that school and I just spend time there for 4 months, and yeah, it's a study abroad.
Okay. Yeah. So how do you go about doing a study abroad? Because I thought about it. Because it looks so interesting, like being an exchange student somewhere mm-hmm. and stuff. It looks so intriguing to me.
Yeah, so how I did it was last year, around this time actually, was when I submitted my application to York International here.
Oh.
So I'm doing it through York.
Okay.
And so I got accepted to that in March. And then from March to October, it was like, nothing. Heard nothing. I went about it because, and I had thought about going abroad and submitting that first application, was because I had always wanted to go abroad. Mm-hmm. I always loved the idea of going abroad. I was like in eighth grade and I was thinking like, how can I actually go abroad? And I was thinking of going abroad for high school. Obviously that wouldn't have really worked because there's a high school right down the street from me. 13. Didn't make sense. Then I was like, maybe I want to go abroad for university, which is a lot more common.
Yeah.
And then it was just so expensive. Like, being an international student is so expensive. And, like, I praise everyone who's an international student. Like,
literally.
Oh, my God. It's so expensive.
Here I am. Like, I'm like, oh, my gosh. My tuition is $3,000, $5,000. And then they're paying, like, $40,000, $50,000.
Right.
Excluding housing and meal plan.
Right.
And all the other thing. And I'm like.
And that's all 4 years.
Yeah.
That's per year.
Per year. I can't fathom that.
Yeah, it's really expensive. And so, and plus, because we're Canadian, we'd have to do like the ACT or the SAT. And I was just like, I don't want to do that if I were to go to an American school.
Yeah.
And so, but I still always in the back of my mind was like, I want to go abroad. I need to go abroad. Like, I just need to experience that. Like,
yes.
You know, live my exchange girl life and like, you know, just like live that dream. And then in December of 2023, I got like this email. It's like, go abroad. And I was like, this is my time. This is now. This is the only opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I talked to my, you know, parents about it. And they were like, cool with me going because Thankfully, the tuition abroad is like the same tuition here because you pay York's tuition.
Oh.
So the only thing you have to pay is like your dorm and like, you know, your fees, whether it be like food or.
Oh, you have to pay for the dorm? Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, wait, yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming back to me now. I went to the seminar for that one time.
Mm-hmm.
I know they have it different places too. Like they have it in Greece and everywhere. Italy. I wanted to go to the one in Greece,
mm-hmm.
and I almost did in the summertime, but it's too hot there, and I didn't have the funds at the time. Yeah, anyways, back on you.
It's really, really, really expensive, but thankfully because, actually, like, Yonsei was, like, pretty, I don't want to say cheap, but it was reasonable, like, very reasonable, and luckily, Korea's dollar is, like, the same as ours, so there's not, like, that much conversion.
Oh, that's so
good. So, like, if you were to go to Europe, let's say, you're paying, like, double the amount because the euro is worth more than the Canadian dollar. So,
yeah.
Thankfully, the Korean won and the Canadian dollar are, like, almost the same, so you're not paying that much of a difference.
Is it higher or lower?
They're almost one-to-one. I think...
Let's check.
I think Korea is, like, almost our dollar.
Let's see. It says... 1,118.
So that's a dollar.
Oh.
So like 1,018. So that's our Canadian dollar. So yeah, ours is almost, or theirs is worth a little less than ours.
Okay.
So like
period.
$1 of ours is worth one and like, let's say 18 cents pretty
Damn.
Much.
Damn. Okay, Korea.
Yeah, so.
I mean, I already like the food and the people. So one day.
Exactly.
You see
exactly.
me.
You'll see you in Seoul. Mm-hmm. In Hongdae, do the city life, yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll be great, yeah. So, oh. We're getting close to that.
And what are you studying in Yonsei? And,
So, I'm set as a psych major there as well, because I can take psych classes that add to my degree, but because there's, like, no psych classes for students, pretty much, while I'm there, I've decided to find, like, one psych class, and then the rest are going to be electives.
Okay.
Because if I have to take a fifth year, I don't really care. Like, I'd rather have the experience of going abroad and going to Korea than, like, worry about finishing in my four-year time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I have to do two extra classes, okay, so be it. I'll do a semester.
Yeah.
You know, extra, but... I had prepared for this by doing like a third year class in my second year. I had prepared like ahead of time that if I were to go abroad that I wouldn't need to take as many classes, that I could just do like electives, and
yeah.
Thankfully it worked out. And if I need to, I can always take a class in the summer, which I have been doing for the past 2 years. So it's like not that big of a deal. And I think electives would be a lot more fun than having to sit through a psych lecture.
For sure. Oh, yeah. I loved my electives so much. Shout out to you, Sasha, if you're watching this. Great acting prof. Like, it was so great. And then it's just an easy A, too, mm-hmm. depending on the elective you take.
True.
Do you have any electives in mind that you wanted to do?
So there's... one called Understanding Digital Media, which, like, kind of aligns with, like, what we do, right? Digital media.
That sounds like something I would probably take in my program.
Exactly, right? Because you're communications, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Another one was, like, there's social and emotional... I forgot what the name is. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Visual literacy. There's also one called Understanding K-pop, which I think is so fun.
Ooh.
Like, can you imagine doing that? Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So I'm just going to... go there and like take my classes seriously, obviously, but I think you know, first is obviously going to be academics, but second is definitely going to be like exploring, and like I'm in a whole different continent with people that I don't know, and it's a new language, and I can speak some Korean, like not
what like, can you fluent. Say in Korean?
I can just pretty much like introduce myself. Go Are you gonna it. Make me introduce myself?
Of course.
Oh, if my pronunciation's bad and there's a Korean watching this, I'm so sorry. How you say hello is like 안녕하세요. So you say 안녕하세요. 저는 어리비입니다. That's how you introduce yourself.
Oh.
Yeah. And then if you want to say something like, I'm Canadian, which I'm going to have to say a lot because people are going to confuse me for being American, you say, 저는 Canada 사람입니다. Yeah.
Ooh.
And then you're just like, I'm a Canadian person. And then they're like, oh.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. I tried self-studying a bit and I'm like studying a little more now. But definitely, like, I'm going to get my speaking going on there, so.
For sure. And do you still practice Korean and such?
Yeah, I mostly use, like, apps on my phone now to self-study. I have a book that I like to self-study. There's something called Talk to Me in Korean that I self-study through. It's, like, a whole program where they, like, teach you how to speak Korean. And I just, when I was growing up, I was like, I want to learn an Asian language because I grew up around Italian, I grew up around French, and even though I'm not fluent in either of those languages, I can understand French a lot more than I can understand Italian, even though I am Italian.
Oh, you're Italian.
Yeah.
Okay,
because
nice.
Growing up, like, there was a dialect that was spoken around me, and so, like, I understand that dialect, but I don't understand, like, Roman Italian all that much.
Oh.
But, like, I can understand French, but I said, like, I want to go away from the European languages, because, like, they're similar. I was like, I want to learn an Asian language, right? Mm-hmm. That's, like, a real challenge. And then there was Korean, and I was like, cool. I like the way it sounds. It's, the alphabet's relatively easy. It doesn't have three alphabets like Japanese does.
Three alphabets?
Yeah, they have, like, kanji, and they have, like, two others. And
whoa.
Yeah. Honestly, kudos to everyone that does Japanese. Like, that is...
For sure. Three, I can't even with
the... Same with Mandarin and Cantonese. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Ooh. So...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. No wonder the ones rooted in Latin are so easy.
Because they're all the same, pretty much. Well, not the same, but, like, they all have... They're all derived from the same, you know, background, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah, Latin. So...
I feel like another great place to learn Korean is if you go golfing. Because I used to work at a golf course. At least the one I worked at the time. There's a lot of Koreans that golfed there.
Really?
The only word I knew in Korean was anaseo.
Yeah.
And I would say it, and they're like, oh my gosh!
You speak Korean! Yeah, there is a... I find that, like, if I were to say, because I had a Korean friend, and I said one time, like, bibimbap, which is, like, a food.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, you know how to say it. And I was like, it's a food. And she was like, that's crazy that you know how to say it. And I'm like, is it really that surprising? Like, I feel like, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think.
We should know. Like, we should know how to pronounce the food if we're going to eat the food, you know?
Exactly.
But... Yeah, she was, like, so surprised, and it was so heartwarming. I was like, okay. Yeah, I'm glad.
I love those reactions. When you just say one, like, random word in, like, a different language, and the people are so welcoming, I love that. I don't really find that in French so often. I have, like, a little bit of discrimination against French.
But a lot of people do, actually. A lot of people do.
It's not my fault. They have the discrimination towards us non-French-speaking, like, persons first. I'm talking about the French people.
Francophones.
From France.
Yeah. Francophones, yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I can understand that. I mean, at Glennon, there's a whole bunch of, like, exchange French students. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, they're all, like, nice to me. Like, I haven't really run into, like, any mean people, which is great. But, yeah, no, I completely get it where, you know, I've heard the stories of people going to France and them not speaking French, and they're like, why are you even here, mm-hmm. you know?
I've even heard some stories of some people that know how to speak French, but because it's, like, a different dialect.
Oh, yeah, like Québécois. Yeah, like, they say butter differently, and they're like, oh, my gosh, like, you're not in French.
I feel like everyone that speaks French around the world has, like, that exact look against that Québécois, like...
Yeah, right? But I'm like, people say it's, like, not real French, and I'm like, y'all colonize them. Like, literally. It is French, but they just, you know, had to make do.
And then they look at it like it's the ghetto French or whatever.
Yeah, I'm like... It's all French. Yes, it's expect? Different. It's just because it's not, like, Parisian French. Like, you know? But people have their own.
That's why I like Spanish.
Right.
It's so easy to learn. For me, at least. At least for me. I don't know any other person's experience.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I've had, like, fun experiences with it.
Yeah, because, again, it's, like, it's similar to, like, if you grew up learning French, it's similar to that. It's more similar to Italian than it is, like,
for
French.
Sure. Even but, Portuguese, too.
Oh, yeah, 100%. They're right next to each other, Spain literally. And Portugal. But Brazil Portuguese is different than
sometimes Portuguese. I find myself speaking to, like, someone and or reading something, and I'll see a word, and I'm like, they have that squiggly. I forget what that's
called. The tilde?
Is that what it's called, the squiggly?
Like, over the N?
Over the N's and over the
A's. I think
that's
called
the
tilde. Yeah, yeah.
And I'll see it over the A, and I'm like, this is not in Spanish. This is Portuguese.
Yeah.
Like, wait, I understood Portuguese just now. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's very similar. Well, I mean, like, again, like, their countries are really close. Like, they border each other, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, my boyfriend is both Spanish and Portuguese, actually.
Mm.
So, like, he's Argentinian, so they speak, like, Argentinian. Well, it's Spanish.
Oh, yeah, but the different accent, like,
I think it's a different accent, but, like, pretty much anywhere you go, I think, like, if his mom were to speak Spanish, like, anyone could pretty much understand her, because... I'm not, like, an expert on that, so
the
I'm not...
The pacing, too, makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Because when I'm talking to Colombians or Mexicans, it's so easy to understand them versus, like, a Puerto Rican or a Dominican. I'm like, can you speak, like, a little bit slower?
Yeah. 100%, yeah. But he gets both. but he can't speak either. That's so real, though. I can't speak Italian, so.
No way.
Yeah. Again, I can understand. I just can't speak it, which sucks.
Okay.
I was just never, like, really given the opportunity to learn and to speak. Everyone just kind of spoke to me in English in my family. So, yeah.
I feel that with Jamaican patois, because my family's Jamaican, mm-hmm. but at home, like, my mom speaks to me sometimes in patois, mainly in English, so, like, I never really got the chance to speak, and when I try to speak, it doesn't sound the same.
Right.
You know, like, my other friends growing up, like, they went to Jamaica in the summertime, so their patois is better than mine.
Yeah.
When I sound like it, I sound like, when I speak it, I sound like an imposter, and I'm like, no, it doesn't sound right.
Right. Yeah, I remember there was one time I went to Jamaica, and I took a patois class.
No.
Yeah, it was, like, for the kids, right? They were like, oh, just, like, come in, we're gonna teach you some patois, and I was like...
But they taught you some good words.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't remember. The only thing I remember is Irie, which I think means, like, all right.
All right. Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that I remember from that. Yeah. Mm. But I was, like, learning languages. I love languages, and I mean, like, that kind of added on to it. So, yeah. Like, oh, that's cool.
It's so fun learning languages when you know what's going on.
Yeah, when, like, you understand.
Like, math, you know?
Yeah.
For me.
Like, math is fun when you get it.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, stats only was fun when I understood what was going on. But that was... I only understood 1% of the time, because 99% of the time it was impossible.
I feel you. You know what? Like, you're a stats warrior. I can't go through stats. I don't put myself through that mathematics anymore. It's like, okay, I have ChatGPT. I have a calculator. I'm good.
Yeah, no, because when I started as a psych major and I realized I had to take stats, it was like...
Pain.
It felt like the world was ending. I was like, no, I don't have to take stats. But then it ended up being okay. Pass the class.
Okay, period. And
that's all that matters.
God is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we pass. We prevail. We exactly. overcome. You
persevere.
Know?
We did it.
Yes.
Yeah. Like 7-hour study days for each of the exam, but like ooh, it worked.
Damn.
It worked. Yeah, so to anyone in psych and you need to do stats, actually do the work. Like, actually read the textbook. Khan Academy is great. YouTube videos are really the way to go. Mm. But you just, that's like a class that you actually like really have to sit with the content. And, like, actually learn what's happening.
Wow.
For you to get it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. That's, like, my biggest advice. Just actually do the work.
Ever since I learned Pythagoras theorem, whatever it's called, I've never found myself using it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. It happens. They teach you a whole bunch of things that they think you might need.
SOHCAHTOA, trigonometry, haven't used it to this day, and I've been fine.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. If that's not what you want to go into, then, like...
And you know what's crazy? I grew up learning instruments, you know, mm-hmm. like, I know how to play, like, a couple different instruments. And in music, I don't know if you play instruments or not. Mm-hmm. Do you?
Yeah. What
instruments
I have.
Do you play?
So, I've played growing up, like, ukulele. I tried teaching myself piano for a bit. I sing, too.
You sing?
Mm-hmm. So.
You gotta hop on a track together. Even though I'm a shy singer, one day, you know?
One day. So, yeah, like, I understand, like, music for a little bit.
But you know, music theory has a lot of math in it.
Yeah.
And somehow I understood music theory math. And somehow I understood chemistry math. But you know what? I think it's rewiring my brain. Like, it's not math. It's fun math. It's music math. It's chemistry math.
Yeah.
So it's not the same.
Yeah. I've always been a science girly as opposed to, like, math.
Yes.
So when I had to do math and chemistry, I was like, okay, like, it's not math.
Yes.
It's like learning how to balance. You know,
that's what got me through it.
Yeah, really. So, yeah,
I was relatively decent in it, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I always had a hard time with math.
Me too.
But we prevail.
We do.
Got through it. And now I don't have to take any more math courses.
Period.
Yeah.
As we should.
I know. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just stuck with research.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, there's some math in research, but it's not, like, a math course. It's, like, you have to do math for research.
Yeah. I see those, like, sometimes in those papers, too, and the readings, like, they have, like, research statistics, and it's, like, X represents this, and this figure represents this, and we're going to plot it on the graph, and this is what this figure demonstrates. And it's, uh-huh. like, I'm not reading that. Just, mm-hmm. like, give me the final result, like, okay, this happened, this is the end, that's it.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard to dissect everything,
mm-hmm.
but... You do what you gotta do.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, next year I have to do my research thesis. Yeah, like my honors thesis, and that's going to require some math. But again, it's not like a math course. It's like you just do it for the research statistics kind of thing. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Are you going to be doing any surveys with it too, or just...
So my goal is to do a research thesis on the siblings of people with autism. So I've worked with people with autism. I've worked like all ends of the spectrum at a summer camp.
There's a lot of food places on Kiel.
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna go home and make me some eggs. Save money, live better.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel like every place here on Kiel is like $20 or more, and they're trying to act like it's a deal, and it's like,
no, girl, I just got a drink and a sandwich, like.
You know, like, it's sad because the school is, like, okay, at Kiel, you have options, but it's all expensive. At Glendon, there's only one option now. I heard they closed down the Tim's.
Yep, the Tim's is closed.
That's depressing. R.I.P. Moment of silence. All right, we're done.
I was so sad when I saw that it closed because, like, I lived off of their bagels. Mm-hmm. Like, their cream cheese toasted bagels. I lived off of that.
They're good.
Because the cafeteria is subpar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel for everyone who has to live on campus.
Me too. It's that or like off campus or Uber eating, and it's like expensive.
It's so expensive. Yeah.
And imagine if you're not driving too. That's just an even bigger hassle.
Like they have meal plan, but you're stuck with the same things every day. And I feel for everyone.
And then it's not even like there's any options nearby because you go by York Mills and Bayview. Barely anything there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's like passed by, like maybe by Eglinton you have a little bit more, but you have to go all the way down to Young to find something good. No.
Yeah, you could go from Bayview to Young the street over, mm-hmm. but getting there is going to be a hassle. There's mm-hmm. like the strip of Young, there's like a bunch of restaurants, mm-hmm. but it's about getting there.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have a car, cooked. You can't
literally
get there.
Yeah. That bus takes forever.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I feel for everyone. But,
me too.
But yeah, I'm just going to go home, make me some sunny side eggs.
Nice.
As my lunch, mm-hmm. late breakfast, brunch, yeah.
Yeah, it's important to eat. You got to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You should eat.
Yeah, I don't really eat breakfast because I'm never really up for breakfast.
Like, I felt.
Like now that I have now that I'm on my 2-month break, mm-hmm. Like I don't really wake up before 11.
Felt. Yeah. I feel that. If I'm not waking up, like, for work and stuff, then I'm just, like, sleeping in till God knows how long. Mm-hmm. God knows what time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only really do 3 things now. It's, like, sleep, read, and play Animal Crossing.
Fair.
That's what I do. Because I have a break. And I had school every month last year, so I was like, I really need this break.
You deserve it. You deserve a break, you know, to relax, unwind, you
know. Before the chaos that is Korea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Especially mental preparation too, 100%.
Yeah. I'm really spending time with people that I like care about, and I have to find time to hang out with like all my friends that I'm not going to see. And
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. It's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Say your goodbyes. Like, you're leaving, you know, and such. I don't know why I said say your goodbyes like that. Like, that sounds creepy. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's just because I'm overthinking.
Yeah, that's okay.
But, like, you know.
I do have to say goodbye to people, so.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
And it's gonna be sad not seeing them for 4 months, but.
Different environment, too. Like, going to Seoul, big city. Mm-hmm. What is the population of Seoul? I'm curious.
I have no idea.
9.4 million. Ooh, that's way bigger than the city. So, a lot more people, a lot more hectic, a lot more energy.
Definitely, because I'm not really like a city person. I mean, I live in the suburbs. So, like, being surrounded by cities is definitely going to be like a new experience. So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah.
But it's like, I feel like that's an experience every young person has to go through to find themselves, mm-hmm. discover themselves.
100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be good.
You meet new people. You have a lot more different experiences. And mm-hmm. hopefully, like, I think Seoul is a very safe city, too.
Yeah, Korea is very, very safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, like, safe for women, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, definitely, every place has its, like, crime and stuff. But they have cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a pretty safe place, which is great. That, like, soothes my mother. You know, she's like, you're going to Korea. I'm like, yes, but it's safe. mm-hmm. which is important. So
no pickpocketing.
Yeah, exactly. That was another thing. When going to Europe, like, I didn't want to be pickpocketed, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure it might happen, like, in Korea to some people if you're, like, in the wrong crowd. But it's not, like, a consistent problem. Like, it's not as known as, like, in Europe. Like, don't go to this place in Rome because you're going to get pickpocketed.
Even France, too. I was hearing about it during the Olympics when the Americans were going. Mm-hmm. And the Europeans tried pickpocketing the Americans. And they would get shocked because some guy had, like, fake wallets that were actually, like, electric shock kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the police had to confiscate them. They were almost getting into fights too because the Americans realized it. And I'm like, good on them for sticking up for themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's this one Italian lady I see on TikTok too. And she just like,
attenzione, pickpocket!
Yeah. Attenzione! I love her.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. I say that in my house all the time.
Attention, pickpocket! Pickpocket!
She's great, yeah. She's so funny. She's great, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I feel like when it does come to mental health, too, and just within society and how technology is moving, you know, with ChatGPT, I mean, and AI, I mean, they're great resources for people that are looking towards therapy and such. But what do you think about people utilizing AI chatbots as opposed to, like, talking to a human about their mental health that they're going through, even though AI can't really understand nor feel those emotions, and they're only generating responses based on what other humans are typing in about their circumstances.
I've done therapy myself, like, face to face with another person, and that will always, in my opinion, beat an AI, because an AI doesn't have, like, the empathy. The AI doesn't have the, you know, human understanding of a human.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for myself, when I ever needed, like, let's say I needed, like, to build a routine, or let's say I needed something that could, like, calm me from being overwhelmed, I would use ChatGPT and be like, okay, help me make a schedule for this. Because I know through therapy and through, like, you know, introspective work that I had to, you know, find a way to calm myself down. And if I get overwhelmed by, you know, a task, and I need to, like, lay things out in, like, a neat manner, and if I'm too overwhelmed to do that, I'll go to, like, a, you know, like, a chatbot, like ChatGPT, and be like, okay, can you, like, spread out these tasks in a way that's, like, manageable?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, like, talking about problems or, you know, searching for, you know, coping mechanisms, ChatGPT can only give you what it, like, what the internet says would work for people in, like, in your very vague description of what you gave the chatbot, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a human is able to empathize, and through, you know, through training and through practicing, they're able to give you, like, what would probably work best for you in your specific situation, and they're just a lot more, like, intuitive, mm-hmm. right? And so I think like, ChatGPT is just not a good therapy. Like, I just don't think, like, nothing will ever beat that human-to-human interaction.
For sure.
Right? So, that's just, like, my stance on it. Therapy was great for me. Learned coping mechanisms through it. Learned mm-hmm. a lot about myself. But I've also done, like, a lot of, like, journaling and stuff. That's also been really good for self-reflection. I've been journaling since I was in, like, sixth grade. So, ooh. Yeah, it's just, like, one of those good coping mechanisms, right?
For sure. And so, you get to, like, really vent and express yourself, too, through mm-hmm. writing.
Yeah, no one's going to judge you.
That's true. And even reading back on, like, your previous entries, too, and what you've written and how much you've grown, it's, like, a big, like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've grown. You really evolved as a person.
Yeah, so I started writing at, like, 11, 20 now. So, ooh. I'll read back in, like, my entries in like, sixth grade, and they're all about, like, friends, and they're all about, like, the drama that's happening in sixth grade, and mm-hmm. now my journal entries are just, like, this is what I'm feeling today, this is what happened today, this is what I want to work on in the future.
Yeah.
It's a lot more, like, self-maintenance based, as opposed to, like, talking about, like, drama.
For sure. You know?
Like, that only happened recently, though. Like, even in eighth grade, the drama I would just write about, so.
Eighth grade.
so long
and
ago.
And fifth grade, too. Just the drama then.
Oh, yeah. Like, fifth grade was... Like, I was bullied in fifth and sixth grade. So, like, that's what I would write about. Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. That's when, like, my depression and anxiety stemmed from.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, I've been dealing with it for a long time. That's how I got good at, like, managing it. It's because I've had it for so long that you kind of just learn to live with it and learn what works for you.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And what were you... If you don't mind me asking, like, what were you bullied for?
I was... a chubbier kid, so I was bullied for like how I looked, but also the person that bullied was like my best friend at the time, and like she would go between like me and like one of our other friends who was also like being bullied by her. She would turn like a bunch of my friend group against me. Like I used to say, like, it was like a 7-on-1, like it was always like,
oh, I hate them versus me.
Yeah, she wouldn't like let me play games with them at recess. Yeah, it was, like, the whole lot, right? Like, people said that I was, like, the ugly best friend. Yeah, so, like, I was bullied for, like, my appearance mostly. And, yeah, thankfully, though, like, that is, like, yeah, stemmed, like, anxiety and depression, but it didn't, like, it made me better. Like, the character development was real. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel that.
Yeah, like, I was able to... understand like the good and the bad in people, and yeah, it might have given me some like trust problems, but now I'm able to like pick out people that I trust, I guess, based on like social cues. And yeah, so I guess like I guess like bullying was like both beneficial and disadvantageous, right?
For sure.
Yeah,
normally I'm against bullying, but when it comes to like some really people and they need their behavior corrected and such, like it can sometimes work in that circumstance.
I definitely believe confrontation is a good thing. Like if you're being a mean person, you should be told that you're being
that's
mean.
Exactly, you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, that's exactly what
being
I
held
mean.
Accountable for your actions.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, except I wasn't a bad person. I was just
you weren't fat. And you did not deserve that. I'm talking about just like her.
Yeah, she probably should have. I don't know what happened after elementary school. She went to a different high school, but yeah, people always said like, oh, one day it'll like bite her in the ass, and like one day it'll come back, like karma will get her. I don't know what happened. I just kind of moved on with my life,
as you should.
But yeah, I don't think about it ever. You know, it was fifth grade. I was more worried about like me breaking my wrist twice in the same semester.
Ooh.
Than like, you know. Also, the teachers were just kind of, like, bad about it. And if you don't have, like, a good support system, like, in school. Like, my mom, like, went through hell and back.
Wow.
For me. But it was more so, like, the teachers that were just, like, not believing me. And I'm like, okay.
Having a good support system in anything in life you do is so important and is so reassuring, too. Because, like, me as growing up, like, people saw me as, like, a happy, joyful person. And I try to be joyful and kind to people because you never know what a person could be going through. And especially through high school. But I had ulterior motives as to why I was always nice to people. And that was just because, like, I'm going to be so blatantly true. I said it before and I'll say it again. School shootings were on the rise in the States. And I wanted to make sure my life was spared.
Right, right, right.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Like, I mean, like, I was always kind to people. I always made friends with everyone. But I don't know. There were some people who, like, didn't deserve my kindness, but I gave it to them anyway because my mom always said, like, kill them with kindness kind of thing.
Yes.
And actually, like, on the way here, I saw someone from my elementary school.
Oh.
And he was in a grade older than me. And he has autism. And he was, like, so fun to be around. And... like, he, you know, skateboards in my neighborhood. And, ooh. Yeah, so, like, I see him, and it was really cool seeing him, and, like, on the way, you know, to the library. Mm-hmm. He was, like, talking to him, like, you remember me, bro? And he's, like, yeah. And I was, like, that's so cool. He remembers me from, like, elementary school, which is really cool. So, yeah, I always try to be nice to everyone. Like, yeah. I obviously wasn't, like, the perfect person in elementary school. Like, I obviously, like, had my faults, and I was obviously, like, falling into the crowd of people that would, like, be mean to people for no reason. And but, like, now I try to be nice to everyone because why be rude? That takes effort, you know?
It's true. But sometimes it's, like, being kind to other people when you don't have anything to give, especially going through depression, is so – it can be hard. And it's not even, like, you want – at least in my circumstances, not even like I wanted to push away people, but it was like I just isolated myself so much, at least in grade 11 when I had to take like functions math and deal with a bad tutor. And I was like, my stress, the cause of my depression, at least that started the whole chronic depression cycle. And it was just having constant breakdowns all the time, always crying, just like feeling hopeless in life and what I wanted to do. And, you know, I just, when you see yourself lose the spark that you used to have, it's something that is so devastating. And it feels like you can't get it back. But once you do, it's something you want to hold on to, and it's something that you want to give to other people and restore in other people too.
Mm-hmm.
At least how I feel like that's what God did in my life, restored that spark in me.
Right, right. Were you previously religious, or did you just recently become like more so religious?
I always grew up in church. Like, I went to church on Sundays, but I didn't like going because I'm not a morning person. Mm. Still ain't, but I try.
Right, right.
And I would like rarely read the Bible. It was circumstantial. Like, right. If I'm really going through it, maybe I'll open up like a verse and like see it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, now I guess it wasn't this November, but it was it this November? No, it was the one before that.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost went through a cancer scare. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what really brought me more closer to God. And he sent me so many different signs, like reassuring me for my health, like, you're fine, you are fine. And everything was fine, thankfully, like, thank God. And I just started going into my Bible more and just finding so much love and so much warmth and comfort with God. And just realizing, like, you know, this is like who Jesus is. Like, everyone has their own idea of it and what they've been told, but I try to be the person that Jesus was, at least, mm-hmm. like even like a little sliver, give that kindness out to people, that understanding. And it restores my faith in him. It restores my faith in like life and assurance to life too.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be the type of person to say, I was Christian, but I was never practicing. But now I can, like, say, you know, like, God has worked with me, and I can give an account to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, I'm not a perfect person, and I never claim to be a perfect person at all. But it's just seeing through my faults and just trying to be the most the version of myself that he sees in me, that right. I don't see in myself.
Right, right. I also grew up Catholic, or not Christian, but Catholic. So I went to a Catholic elementary school, went to a Catholic high school. But I kind of, like, I was never practicing. Like, I went to church when I was needed to, like, when I had to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, communions or for mass at school, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I've always said it, like, there's still people in my family who are, like, religious. Like, my grandmother, you know, the one that I have the tattoo of, like, she'd go to church every Sunday kind of thing. Like, I'm not wearing it today, but she got me, like, a gold chain for my baptism that I'll wear, not in, like, the religious sense, but, like, because it reminds me of her.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's aspects of religion around me always, right?
Yeah.
For me, personally, when it came to religion, I found that it was kind of hard for me to really, like, believe in religion because I was kind of scared of it. By that I mean, like, I was scared of God the same way I was scared of my parents by doing, like, something wrong. And I was like, you know, God is watching me, and, like, I don't want to be punished for doing something wrong. And so I kind of, like, shut it out. So I guess, like, in a way, I'm between, like, being agnostic and atheist in the sense of, like, I want to believe that there's something there, and, like, I'd love to see, like, you know, the people of my family who have passed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also content with, you know, knowing that even if there isn't something, then that's okay, and, like, cherish time on earth when I have it.
Yeah.
Right? So I think, like, I think religion for people is a beautiful thing. Like, if people, you know, like, want to worship and people, like, want to go to church, like, 100%. If it fits into your lifestyle, if you know, that's something that you find comfort in, go for it, right?
Mm.
I'll never, like, hate on a religion, and I'll never, like, be like, oh, you're weird because you believe in a religion, because that's, like, not it. The only thing with religion is, like, certain people that I'm like, I can't believe, I think you know
it's
what I'm talking about.
The bad apples. I feel like every religion has that
100%.
Too.
So, yeah. Like, that's why, like, I won't, like, hate on the religion itself. Mm-hmm. I'll just, like, dislike the people that will, like, be the bad apples and use religion as a way of hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like, if religion fits into someone's life and you're better with religion, believe in religion.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like, I've always been the kind of person where it's like, I can be a good person and I don't need to necessarily believe in God. Like, I'll just, like, you know, be nice. I still have morals, still have, like, you know, an ethical code. But yeah, like, growing up, I would pray at night and, you know, I had rosaries everywhere in my room. And I think now more so, I just like to believe that, you know, if there is something, there is. If there isn't, then there isn't. But it's not necessarily like an organized God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I feel like, yeah, I feel, I know where you're coming from. And I feel like in some ways, Jesus was like that too, especially when it came to the high priestesses, the Pharisees and such. They were all about order and organization. And they were very strict on the old world, like the law of Moses, mm-hmm. and how they were living back then. So when Jesus was doing miracles on the Sabbath and healing people, not necessarily doing anything wrong, they had a problem with it. And fear aspect too. I mean, yes, God does say to fear him, but he's like a father figure to us too, mm-hmm. you know, like any other parent. And the thing is, he's not gonna send you to condemnation. And I feel that's what a lot of people feel, mm-hmm. too, which is why they don't go to God or they don't believe in him, because they think that they're going to be instantly condemned or such. And it's like, he's a loving God and he cares 100%. Yeah. He cares about your well-being. Like, even when it came to the adulterous woman, I don't know if you read the passage or not, the one that was brought.
Most likely not. I haven't picked up the Bible in like years.
No worries. There's this woman that committed adultery, mm-hmm. and she was sent to like the courtyard to be stoned, mm-hmm. and Jesus was like, hey, if you are without sin, then you can cast the first stone. And so everyone started leaving, and Jesus himself, who was without sin, didn't cast the first stone. And there's too many people that cherry pick the Bible and use those verses against other people for their own personal gain, for their own power. And I hate that because Jesus didn't do any of those things. Yeah. But again, it's ulterior motives, it's ego that person trying to feed within themselves,
right? Yeah. And I mean, like, religion at its roots is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think over time, when it comes to like misinterpretation and all that stuff, then it starts to like falter. It's not like the once beautiful thing that it should have been.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think because of that, like, I just don't want to like fall into any of like, I don't want to fall into any bad belief with those like bad apples kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also been like very like individualistic, and I'm very much like, I kind of like run my own life, and like I have like my moral code and like my ethical code and everything that could be stemmed from religion. I mean, I grew up Catholic, but yeah, I don't know. I kind of just like look to the world and see like, you know, what people need, what people don't need, and just try to be a good person overall, even if I'm not like a practicing Catholic, even if I consider myself like more on like leaning towards like agnosticism, I think that's how you say the word, or like atheism,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's not hard to be a good person. It's not hard to like do good deeds. Like, I was a church youth group like kid, I guess, right? So like I was there for like a year and a half or something, and like it's not hard to, you know, be a part of those things and, you know, do good in the world. And, you know, we did we went to a community center downtown, gave meals to the homeless, we gave like clothes to the homeless. Like, it's not hard to do that, even if I did through the church. Like,
yeah,
it's not hard to be a good person, right? And mm-hmm. like
I think the church definitely has a lot of influence on those good morals and good deeds and being good towards mm-hmm. others too.
Yeah, I think I always found that religion was just like, you know, if it comes into my life, it comes into my life. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And I find myself a lot of the time too, though, in like complete honesty, like there'll be times where I'm going through a really hard time, like a really hard time, and I'll tell myself like, yeah, this is gonna be better. But if I'm like going through like the slumps, I find myself defaulting to like, God, please help me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's like me, you know, hoping that there's something. Maybe that's me, like, you know, wishing for whatever, you know. But I always find myself, like, defaulting to that if I'm going through a really hard time. But I just like to believe that, like, I'm strong enough and I'm resilient enough to, like, help me bring myself out of it. Like, I've done all the work. Mm-hmm. Even if it wasn't, like, religion-based, like, I know I've done so much work on myself, right, that, like, helps me get through things. But if something's, like, really hard or whatever, maybe I'm, like, God help. Like, with my grandmother, right? She had Alzheimer's. Yeah. Went to church every Sunday. And, like, even my mom will say things like, you know, if there was a God, why would they do this to my mom, you know? It's just kind of things where, like, you can... You know, you grow up religious and, you know, you believe in something, and then the bad things always happen to the good people. And, like, you can't really blame, you know, God for that, but people definitely, like, try to find, like, their rhyme or reason as to why things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. From a young age, I was always just, like, I was kind of felt uncomfortable in mass because I felt like I wasn't, like, meant to be there for some reason.
Say if you were to go into, like, a different area or be amongst, a different group of religious, like, people and such, and their approach was different than what you received traditionally growing up in mass. Do you think that could ever impact, like, your choice to,
I mean, it's
go
hard
to God again, or do you think I don't know.
I mean, it's kind of hard to say because I've never really been at any other, like, traditional mass, right? I'm only, like, used to the Catholic and Christian ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I would only be speaking from inexperience, but I don't know. I feel like I'm very, like, solidified and, like, you know, like, I have what I have here and I'm comfortable with what I have here. And again, like, if worship fits into some people's life, then it fits into some people's lives. Right.
Mm-hmm.
For me, for me in my life, I'm just very, like, individualistic and I'm very, like, secular, like, from religion, and, like, if that makes sense, like, I'm very, like, kind of separate from it, but yeah, like, I think, like, there are some, you know, traditional practices that are really beautiful, and yeah, like, especially in Islam, and, you know, I think it's, like, important to educate yourself about other religions in the world.
For sure.
And, like, I know about other religions in the world, and I know, like, you know, whatever Google will tell me, and, like, look into it, and I'll, like, read their texts and whatever, but I just never really found myself, like, resonating with any of them. And that's just, like, a personal thing, right? Like, I have a cousin who, was talking about, like, he wanted to go to church, and I'm like, that's great. Go ahead, do it. You know, like, if you find that that fits in your life, you can go ahead and do that. If you find that God is, like, something that you want to build a relationship with, then go for it, right? I mean, for myself, I'm very much, like, if this is good, this is good. If this is bad, if this is bad. And, yeah, religion was just something in my life where it kind of, like, fell off, I guess. But, like, I'm not opposed to religion. Like, I don't hate religion. I think religion could be a beautiful thing for people.
Mm-hmm.
But just for myself, I'm comfortable where I am. And I'm comfortable, you know, in, like, my belief system, I think. Yeah, I think worship is beautiful. I think, you know, spreading the gospel is beautiful. But I think, like, something that just also, like, really turned me off from religion was those bad apples. And it just kind of put, like, a sour taste in my mouth, you know what I mean? But I hate to say this, but, like, you know, like, fandoms? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's, like, bad apples in everything.
The hardcore ones.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it kind of, like, puts you off of, like, you know?
Yeah.
Even if that thing isn't, like, inherently, like, bad, or even if that thing, like, I don't know how to explain it. It kind of just, like, you know?
Yeah.
So, like,
No, I could see that, too, because even me, myself, I get very turned off by them, too.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of cognitive dissonance with some people, and, yeah, but it's not my place to, you know, tell everyone what their problems are. So,
We don't judge here. We listen and we don't judge.
We listen and we don't judge. Mm-hmm. I mean, I judge a little bit.
I try not to judge too much or at all. I'm working on it. It's a work in progress.
But those bad apples, I might judge you a little bit, but I won't say
righteous
it.
Righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. Yeah. You know, correction.
Yeah,
accountability.
Correction. Yeah, so, But yeah, like I've had like amazing conversations with people who are, you know, Christian, even Protestant, mm-hmm. like one of the denominations. Like I've had amazing conversations with people about like, you know, social issues or like political issues.
Yeah.
And even if we don't see eye to eye, it's like good that you're having the conversation, right?
It is good
that you're sharing your perspective.
Yeah.
Even if we don't agree on everything, I think like human communication is important, right?
Exactly.
Communication is key, so.
And we're not meant to agree with on everything. It's good to have, it's good to be challenged. It's good to see different opinions, different perspectives. It really opens up your mind mm-hmm. to the world around you.
Yeah, like, can you imagine just, like, being so close-minded? Like, what a weird world. Because mm-hmm. how are you supposed to, like, grow as a person if you can't understand someone else's perspective, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's one of the biggest things with empathy, right? Is, like, you being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes, and then, you know, you're not doing that because you don't agree.
I feel like there's such a lack of empathy out here today in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a lot more meaner people out there that are so used to just bullying others and being mean and just having no decency for yeah. other people, no regard to their existence or regard to them as a human being.
You know, I feel like with social media, I feel like people have gotten a lot more selfish.
Yeah.
And although I agree with, you know, you being selfish sometimes, like with your mental health, you setting boundaries, and I think selfishness mm-hmm. is great. But I also think like being a humanitarian and like, you know, looking around at the world and like world issues, and I think like educating yourself on like other people is just also very important.
Yes.
You can be selfish, yes, when it comes to your mental health breaks and, you know, taking care of yourself and what's good for you. But I think shutting yourself away from all the world when you have the world at your fingertips is just ignorant.
It is.
And yeah, like you have to, like you don't have to be a social, like a
social justice warrior.
Yeah, you don't have to be. But like even just like understanding like the history of things, or just like understanding where things have stemmed from, and just understanding people and like the mm-hmm. issues everyone goes through, like that's just important, you know? And I feel like that just builds empathy in people. And like that for me is like, you know, our purpose is to like understand people and
yes.
help people.
Exactly.
And yeah, and some people just don't do that. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I find it crazy. Like, it's just being a newly adult now and seeing how many people out there don't have any emotional maturity. I didn't realize how big emotional maturity really was in my, how much it mattered in my life until I seen some people and I'm like, huh, so you didn't sit to think this one through, your actions, the implications of what you said, of how you're thinking, you know? You can't really see beyond what is within your scope.
Right.
And then they'll only be around with other people that reaffirm
Yeah, it's the actions. Confirmation bias of it. Yeah. So, like, the thing is, as adults, like, we have a frontal lobe, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, biologically, our frontal lobe doesn't start developing until, like, our early 20s. Mm-hmm. But I think for men, it's a little later.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
It does.
It does make sense.
It makes sense.
But I think, like, it's just, it's hard to, like, I get it's hard to, like, step foot in someone else's shoes if you haven't experienced it. Mm-hmm. But that's the effort that you have to make, right?
Of course.
That's, like, if just because someone experienced something just a little bit different from you doesn't mean that their perspective is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will surround themselves with like people who are very like-minded, get that confirmation bias, you know, validate what they're saying.
Yeah.
And then they're stuck in this like echo chamber of just what they believe. And it's like, that's not how you grow as a person. That's not how you learn, right?
Exactly.
Like I have a family member who says like, if you're the smartest in the room, there's something wrong. Like you always want to learn. You always want to like,
for
you know,
sure.
grow with people around you and have those like challenging conversations, because then it challenges you what you're believing in, right? That's
yes.
how people like change their beliefs and how people just like grow and, you know, maybe even solidify their own beliefs, kind of thing.
Or the people that think because you change in a way, or you did something bad, that you're not worthy of forgiveness, you're not worthy of a second chance. And it's like, first of all, who are you to determine that?
Right.
If that was the case, I would have been struck dead a long time ago with lightning by God.
Yeah.
Okay? But look, I get to wake up every new day, learn something new, and that's thank you God for that,
yeah.
you know? But there's people out there that think that, okay, you did something bad like a couple of years ago, that you're not worthy of forgiveness, or you can't adapt, or you can't change. And it's so ignorant to human evolution, to how we're able to adapt and evolve as
people. I mean, like, we're the smartest species on Earth, right? I think, like, change is possible, but it's people who don't want to change that creates the problem.
Yes.
And you have to be willing to put in that effort. Like, I've done a lot of, like, soul searching, and I've done a lot through journaling, and, like, there would be just, like, things that friends would tell me.
Sorry. Sorry, I just said weed for me. But go on.
Yeah, so there's, like, people that I know that would, like, tell me things that I do wrong, and I, like, did my best, and I was like, thank you for telling me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to do my best to try and change it.
Yes.
And, like, that's what we're supposed to do. Like, you're not going to be a perfect person. Like, nobody's ever going to be perfect.
Exactly.
You don't work your way up to being perfect. Everyone's going to make mistakes,
for
right?
For sure, 100%.
And so I think just, like... But there does come a point where, like, you tell someone something so many times, you're like, maybe you're just not right, you know? Because, like, that's always just, like, one of the touchy subjects. It's, like, you can constantly give people forgiveness, but then there comes, like, a point.
They can, like, abuse that forgiveness, too. It can feel like an abuse of trust, an abuse of forgiveness.
You can take advantage of, yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it gets, like, hard, because... People say, like, oh, forgive but never forget, or, like, people say things like, I'll give you a second chance. Like, I believe in second chances 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if that second chance, like, isn't corrected, then you're like, see ya.
Yeah.
Because it just there's only so much a person can take, because then your mental health starts, you know, depleting, and
yes,
there's only just so much. And again, like, that's the selfish part of it. It's like, I'm taking care of myself. That's the selfish part, right?
Yeah.
Self-care. Always want to take care of yourself.
Self-care is 100% important. Mm-hmm. We can only do so much as human beings. And that's why I look to God. Because, like, I know maybe some people are strong-willed. I'm not. So I love putting it all to God and just having him take care of it in my life. Mm-hmm. Just whatever it is, the ups and downs and such. And I do admire your strength, how you've been able to
thank you.
Overcome and to persevere, to be resilient, courageous too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I feel like everyone deserves to hear, and I'm proud of you, because some people feel so inadequate within their life. I'm not saying you are. I'm, like, just speaking generally, vaguely. Right. And they don't hear that enough. And maybe some people do hear it enough, but it's just an important thing to say to someone.
Right, right.
That's, you're doing well, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Even though you're doing well, too.
Look at you doing.
Thank you. Look what you're doing. Your podcast, Radio Glendon, Korea. That's big. You know, you're chasing your dreams, and you're going after them.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many people out there just set these goals up, these dreams up, and then they never accomplish them?
That's a fear of mine. I don't like that. That's a fear of mine. I have to work towards something, because then I feel stagnant. I can't feel stagnant.
Especially if you're going through it, like, downhill, like, depression. Like, it just adds on. Like, you got to be working through it.
Yeah. I'm happy you even came out of you. You were saying you were having chronic depression, right? And, I mean, it's fantastic that you did that and you found your way through. And look, you're here today.
Yeah.
Doing what you love.
I love life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Even though, like, we've only met each other, like, not too long ago.
Yeah, it's been, like, maybe a month.
A month, yeah. But it's just been, like, a pleasure to have you on the show, by the way.
Thank you
so much for being on here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And just for sharing your stories, for sharing, like, your life, Radio Glendon, the accomplishments. You got an award for it too, huh?
I think
I heard something about it. Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Just, like, wherever life is taking you as well, with how many goals you accomplish, how many things you do, it's amazing, and I can't wait to see it too. I know I'm tuned in. my YouTube page, my YouTube feed is like, I will see you there, and then it's like, okay, conspiracy theory video, okay, sleepy time video, Olivia Gell, you know, and you guys should really check her out too. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have her links in all of the descriptions, like, wherever you're watching or listening to the podcast too. She's the real freaking deal, man.
Oh, thanks.
The real freaking deal. Thank you so much for being a light, too, shedding light, and for, like, creating a space to amplify voices, for all the work you're doing.
Thank you.
It deserves to be recognized.
Thank you.
Well, absolutely.
That means a lot. Thanks.
You're welcome. And I'm so glad we got to do this.
I know. I was really looking forward to it.
Me too.
I woke up early for this, which I never do.
I tried waking up early too, because I knew, I was like, okay, I need to give myself some allotted time for makeup and for hair. Mm-hmm. And I underestimated how long it would take to do my hair. Makeup, surprisingly, was like...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I woke up like... I woke up quite early because I was, like, also, like, recording and, like, doing stuff beforehand. Yeah.
Oh, you were recording?
Yeah, so, like, I was doing, like, a video on TikTok for myself, and I had, like, uploaded a video today. It came out at, like, 10, and I was also doing, like, a day in my life a little bit. So yeah, I was just, like, doing a little bit before I came. Yeah.
Nice. Love to see it. Can't wait to see it, too. Thank you so always much, working. My friend. Always working. You got to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what gets you out of it.
Consistency is key.
100%.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And for everyone that is here for the first time or is watching again, thank you for watching. I appreciate it. And I hope to see you guys in the next one. My brain needed time to work for that one.
That's okay.
God bless. Bye.
Bye.